got a whole lot of money. Yo, bitches got it for me. Bottle keep popping that white up and whole jacket. Yeah. It's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
Welcome back to the fifth podcast of Blacka Flacka's podcast series. Me and Max in the mix, and we're going to be talking about crypto, blockchain, and all things Bitcoin. If you guys ever want us to talk about a certain topic, let us know. I mean, we're here and we're open to you guys. You know, this is for the crypto community, and hopefully we can kind of bounce off ideas going forward. But to get started, Max, this past week, or yesterday actually, we met Bobby Lee.
Yes, the Bobby Lee.
The Bobby Lee. Not Matt TV's Bobby Lee, but the Bobby Lee. That was pretty awesome. I think for the most part, it was, I mean, you saw me in the beginning. I was a little bit giddy, right? And then when he came, when he actually introduced himself and whatnot, I told him straight up. I was like, hey, Bobby, you know, on behalf of me and Max, we're honored to meet you. I mean, with all due respect, right? I mean, he's a legend in the crypto community, founder of the first Bitcoin exchange in China, and currently now working on a startup making these hardware cold wallets, which he gave both me and Max free cold hardware wallets. It's actually my first hardware wallet ever. First cold wallet ever.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
But yeah, takeaways from that, from speaking with them, what do you think?
Yeah, there were a couple of things that really took me by surprise. One, just how much he's so focused on Bitcoin only, which is a really cool thing to see. I thought about it for a minute, and really, you have so much noise in the space, and people, you know, obviously there's a lot of really interesting things going on within Web3. And within open finance, whatever space you want to talk about, there's something where they're trying to incorporate blockchain and do something innovative and something cool. But for him, he's been about Bitcoin since from the beginning, from 2011, and he's still about Bitcoin today. So he's very consistent on what he wants to do. And I think that's part of the recipe for success, is doing one thing and doing it really well.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And I mean, you can't blame the guy. I mean, he's probably sitting on like millions of dollars, right? So he's pretty comfortable with where he is. Two, he's probably traveling the world like every month. And three, like you said, focused on his startup right now. So, I mean, in things today, in the crypto news, in the crypto world, I mean, things are going by so fast. And it's, I mean, for anyone, it's hard to keep up with it. So, but I mean, for the most part, I mean, he was like, he knew his stuff. I mean, I remember when he was asking me when I got into Bitcoin, I told him October, right? And then he like quickly pointed out what price Bitcoin was at that time, which, I mean, goes to show you. I mean, he probably knows like where Bitcoin was every month for the past like 9 or 10 years. But yeah, I mean, it was he opening up about how he started his Bitcoin exchange, kind of the reasons why he kind of explained why he got out of the exchange business. And I mean, from what he told us yesterday, he kind of still is against the exchange business, which comes to me as no surprise, right? The exchanges these days have gotten a lot of bad rep for manipulation, for just offering just the most ridiculous leverage, almost to the point of making it almost like a gambling machine.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's just marketing, right? So like, if BitMEX set it all off with their 100x products, now it's the next exchange down the street. Well, we do 500x, and there's another exchange like that does something more than 500x too, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's one exchange coming out with 1,000x.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's I mean, I get his point of why he's kind of against exchanges right now. But yeah, and I guess going down that road, I mean, we'll kind of see where the exchange business goes towards. I think sooner enough, I mean, a lot of the exchanges will kind of go out of business and run out eventually. I mean, the main one, the big main one these days that we all know, like Binance, Coinbase, BitMEX, I mean, I think they're only going to get bigger. So as they get bigger, the harder it is for smaller competitors to kind of come in and take over their spot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, he's 100% committed to getting more people within Bitcoin, right? So the way that he feels like with his new startup, getting people within a small group, one guy, let's say there's one person ideally who's into Bitcoin, and with this new hardware wallet product, Ballet, it's very easy for him just to tell his other friends, look, hey, I could get you Bitcoin right now. You'll have it on your hardware wallet. You have it on you. It's safe. It's secure. You could feel it. There's a physical connection with Bitcoin. So it bypasses what a lot of people might be turned off by in terms of setting up an account on an exchange, linking it to a bank account. You know, the whole fiat to crypto on-ramp is a real problem for a lot of people. So this is one unique way of going about solving this issue on getting more new users into the space, right?
Agreed. Yeah. And yeah, like you said before, I mean, the feel of it, it's, I mean, there's a nice kind of exclusive feel to that, to the wallet he's selling now. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of wonder if that's going to catch on in China, considering that, you know, most people don't even carry a wallet these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a market, or it's a product that's definitely meant for a very specific type of market. If I had to pick one, I would say the U.S. just because there's already a predisposition to using credit card or credit card-like products. So, you know, whether or not it's going to succeed in China, that remains to be seen. But it's just it's an example of one of a person who's been in the industry from the very beginning and is still focused primarily just on Bitcoin and getting more people to use Bitcoin, period. And he's going to be out there talking about Bitcoin price more so than anything else and why it's going to be the asset class of the future. So he's a man with one mission, and the mission is Bitcoin. So you have to give, there's a lot of respect there, because it's very easy to get sidetracked going and looking into the space. There's a lot of really interesting things going on, but a lot of it could be noise.
I was kind of surprised that kind of going along with what you said, he's a Bitcoin all the way. Kind of surprised that he didn't mention at least his brother.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's just for the sake of time, he just wanted to keep it simple and talk about, you know, his one passion at the time, which obviously is Bitcoin. But I'm sure, you know, Litecoin, at this point, everyone knows what Litecoin is. And look, Litecoin is more than likely here to stay for a long time as well. So we're only gonna see more exciting things come out of both projects. And it's it really catches me by surprise. I know this for a fact. I've known about this for a while. What I really like about the industry is the fact that all these founders, for the most part, they're super approachable. You go to any conference, and usually if you find them walking the floor, you could go talk to them and ask them a few questions yourself. It's not like their handlers are going to take them away, except for CZ. That was the one person that, for obvious reasons, he had to have a group of people protect him.
Did you notice in the beginning when we first sat down with Bobby, it almost seemed as if like he was expecting us to kind of ask him for something? Because he came out with the question saying, all right, so what do you guys want?
Yeah. So he must...
He probably gets like so many sales pitch deals every day anyways. So he probably like felt as if like we wanted to see like if he can help us out with a certain project. But I mean, for the most part, we just wanted to talk with him and kind of pick his brain.
It's pretty interesting that you mentioned that. But yeah, you're 100% right. I didn't notice that at the beginning, but I'm sure he gets plenty of people that ask him for things constantly. So people that actually just want to sit down and have a conversation with the guy, that's probably kind of rare for him at this point.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the next topic. Kind of going along with the exchange topics. Not the exchanges, but
the unicorns.
The unicorns, yes.
Specifically, two companies that filed for an IPO.
One
in
of
the
U.S.
out of all places recently.
One of them being Bitmain, correct?
Yeah, Bitmain is one of them, and they are one controversial company.
So, yeah, the past week, if you guys didn't know, Bitmain basically had a falling out with one of the founders and basically almost had like a coup, you can say, right? The main guy, his name is Jihan, is that correct?
Yeah, Jihan Wu.
Jihan Wu somehow organized a coup along with the other employees and other senior employees to kind of overthrow McCree John. supposedly their relationship has been deteriorating since, you know, for a few years now. And I guess Jihan found an opportunity to kind of just rally up the other people around him and kick out McCree. I don't know. Just from reading, you know, just from some of the stuff online, it's sounds pretty bad with what's going up up there. I mean, and I think part of it might be due because of decrease in sales of the ASIC products, or because of the fact that I know also that they're losing hashing power from Bitcoin's mining hashing, the total hashing pool. Bitmain has been kind of slowly losing their hashing power over other competitors, other mining pools in the space. So, I mean, I guess that happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, I forgot which podcast that I was listening to, but look, this is a space where you're not going to stay on top forever if you can't hang on to your primary business and continue to properly innovate and grow and not have these internal fighting issues like that Bitmain has been hot. Bitmain has been having for quite some time. You're just not going to stick around. So I don't really understand. I mean, unless they're really short on cash at this point, which, I mean, maybe they are, who knows, but why would you want to go the IPO route and really air your entire dirty laundry to the entire world? And it could potentially put the entire space at risk, right? I mean, you're putting yourself on display, and on top of that, you're putting everyone else on display too, because if you're going to be the first potential unicorn from the space to become the first IPO, look, you're setting a precedent. You're the example for the rest of the industry to follow. So why would you want, if you're not in a solid position, why do you want to do this? I just don't understand.
As a clarification, and I'm going to ask you, Max, there's no, in terms of other crypto firms IPOing, there's no other firms that have IPO'd, correct?
No.
On one hand, it's good to see a company in the crypto space IPO and actually get true recognition and some credibility within the financial space. But at the same time, isn't IPOing on a traditional market kind of going against the whole vision of the cryptocurrency decentralization idea?
Yeah, it's funny that you brought that up because, yeah, it's completely antithetical. If they're saying, look, we could do tokenization because it's a quicker, more democratic, fairer, easier way to raise capital versus the traditional routes, then why are we so focused on even going these traditional routes to begin with?
Agreed.
Right? So who gives a shit, yeah. I guess.
I don't know. Maybe it could just move maybe more for just PR publicity. And like you said before, I mean, maybe they're just struggling right now and they just need something to kind of boost up their capital base. And yeah, we'll see where it goes from there.
It's pretty funny that going back to Bobby's conversation from yesterday, I don't know if you remember when he talked about, look, with Bitcoin, technically, you don't need any other products to be underwritten on top of Bitcoin to be able to create this financial innovative society. Like, you just need Bitcoin. From him, that's his perspective on what you need in the future to be able to operate a business or whatnot. Like, do you need all these new products to come on board in order to be able to create legitimacy within the space? And he says, no, it's just Bitcoin. And you don't need these derivatives or anything else. Everything else is just noise. What he mentioned was, look, you have people that come from these different backgrounds that think you could combine it. Look, you come from a derivatives background. You work at Deutsche Bank. You're in a derivatives business. Mm-hmm. And then you come across Bitcoin. You really like it. And you think, oh, well, I could create a hybrid of some sort. So you have a lot of these situations here currently in the space, and people are trying to figure out if it's going to work, but it's still in the phase of whether or not it's going to work, right? So,
and I think that's what we're going to see in 5 years. I mean, in 5 years, I think we're going to see a lot of what's going on right now, a lot of these firms that are trying to come out and trying to create some kind of new business opportunity with Bitcoin as the underlying product. I think a lot of them are going to fail.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's more so a pressure on the industry to conform with, to be able to go and get mainstream, that you have to integrate with the existing financial system, or if it's, I'm just trying to understand,
I mean, but
what
I,
the benefit
yeah,
is.
But I mean, then again, I mean, the the benefit that we've seen from all these different players trying to get in is the fact that there's been more exposure to Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
And more exposure to cryptocurrency, and more exposure to the decentralization, that whole concept behind it. So in a way, I mean, I get Bobby's point where, like, you know, all this noise and these small firms popping up here and there trying to, like, do something different with Bitcoin and crypto. I mean, I think on one hand, you don't really need it. But at the same time, I think you also kind of do need it to kind of propel the movement forward.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Bitmain, one, so if they need to raise capital through an IPO, that's fine. I mean, just like any other company that gets to a point that we're big enough and they want to continue to grow, that's a completely natural next move. But the fact that they basically, Jihan went through a coup and then decides to file for an IPO, how does that have any logic whatsoever? I mean, it's just, there's going to be lawsuits that follow after this. They're just going to have to go through litigation to be able to, like, put this whole situation behind them before they could even proceed with an IPO.
And one thing that I'm kind of concerned and worried about what Bitmain's going to struggle with is transparency and financial reporting.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Mean, does Bitmain, they're obviously known for their mining pools and their ASICs that they sell, right? Do they really want to be reporting into, I don't know into what extent of detail, but do they really want to be reporting and being transparent about their mining pools, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Like, I mean,
well, I think the business that they're in right now is extremely, extremely difficult for the general public to even understand to begin with. So, when you have internal management, serious internal management issues on top of that, and you have a business that no one even understands to begin with, I mean, what positive could come out of this is what I'm trying to understand here, right? Mm. How's this going to be good for anyone involved?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I don't think the IPO route really makes sense for them.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, you had, is it a coincidence that there were two companies that basically filed at the same time?
What was the other company?
Canaan, which is also another mining company.
Interesting. Yeah, okay, and they're also based in China, right?
Canaan, I'm not sure, but obviously Bitmain, yes.
Let me see that again. I think Canaan was based in China from what I saw in that article.
They tried to list. They tried to do reverse IPO.
It says country China.
Yeah.
Interesting. And interesting how these Chinese companies are trying to list an IPO in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah.
Considering what's going on right now with the whole U.S.-China trade war and everything.
And even with them, with China coming out and making the announcement that they want to support blockchain-related projects, mining does fall under that, but mining has a very, very interesting situation here in China because, I mean, technically the CPC did announce that they wanted to ban mining outright earlier this year, that it was on the topic for discussion to completely eliminate all mining-related projects within the country itself.
Mm-hmm. You know what? One exchange that's really that I've been seeing a lot in terms of just like coming out with like these mainstream advertisements is eToro.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if you've seen like a recent like advertisement of them on YouTube with Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, yeah.
I mean, I don't even think eToro is considered like one of the. I mean, they're a big exchange, but they're usually never put up against like the Binances or BitMEX. But I mean, their advertisement is, they're going the mainstream route with this.
Yeah, it's just, to be honest, I don't know very much about eToro to begin with. So what do they trade? I mean, they're not just a crypto focused platform. They have, you could also trade stocks. So it's a hybrid.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could also trade stocks, commodities, currencies, in addition to cryptocurrencies.
Gotcha.
And they pay, it's zero commissions.
Well, either way, their advertisements are kind of funny. There was one with Alec Baldwin, the most recent one, and then there was another one with that that big actor doing his whole HODL theme. I don't know if you've seen that one before.
No, I haven't taken a look yet.
Okay. All right, well, that wraps up the show for today. Let me know what you guys think. And like I said before in the beginning, if you guys want to hear anything different or new, let me know. Send a leave a message. All right, well, from me and Max, signing off.